Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
First name is Joe. Last name is Flanagan. A lot of people in the barber industry know me as Joe Flano, obviously Flano for short. And I am one of the creators of Major League Barber, which is a barber brand. So it's more so like a Nike type thing, right? But it's a brand for barbers, you know, barbers that, you know, aspiring barbers that want to get into the barber industry and learn how to cut hair, and also barbers that are already in the, within the industry that want to excel their skills or their career. As far as from a business owner aspect, entrepreneur aspect, or pretty much like create a product type aspect. But at the end of the day, all those things mean you're growing within what you love to do.
That's very cool. Do you mind if we jump straight into some student questions?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay. One of the kids, they emailed earlier and they wanted to know, Ken, how did it feel to become a licensed barber at 17 years old? I mean, you just jumped straight into a career from high school.
You know, it felt good because I did not want to go to college. I realized that I'm saying this as a disclaimer, right? You know, college is great. Everybody in my family went to college, right? Or military, I should say. And I just knew I wasn't the type. I didn't like to study, guys. Okay, that wasn't my thing. I don't like studying. I would be the hard head student that would tell the teacher the next day why my answers are wrong because I did not study for this and that. So me jumping into barbering, obviously, I was inspired by my great aunt, which was a lady, lady barber. She took it to new heights, you know. Before she passed away, she was able to do it for so long and retire. So me jumping in at 17, well, I should say 18, was a blessing because it was something new that nobody in my family has ever done besides her. And then obviously trying to learn things about life, because it's like, you know, you go to high school, the teachers always tell you, you're going to go into the real world. You know, once you turn 18, once you graduate. And then also, when you go into college, that's considered the real world. But then they say when you graduate college, now you're jumping right in the mix. Now, me, I didn't have to do any of that. Me jumping into that trade at the time was me learning life, you know, real quick, you know, learning that now I'm going right into something that's going to make me money right away. But I also need to know how to deal with people. And I was a quiet person, y'all. Like, to do something like this 20 years or 22 years ago, you couldn't get words out of me. Right. But I knew for me to grow, for me to become successful, I had to be able to talk to people and learn people and get to know people and have compassion for individuals. Because as barbers, man, believe it or not, we're like therapists. And we talk to a lot of people every day. And there's a lot of people that used to come into the shops. I'm not trying to jump ahead here, Rob, but I'm just saying a lot of people that would come into the shops, they would need, you know, conversations to be had with them, you know. Because a lot of people that come into these businesses, they're going through things at home, they're going through things at school, they're going through things in a lot of different ways, friendships, relationships, all those different things. And the barber was the guy to talk to. Or the lady, there's a lot of lady barbers out there now too. Now that's growing. That's a whole nother conversation with that. But we were the ones that were called the therapists, the doctors, the mental health experts, because we were just in an environment where you sit somebody in your chair, you have their undivided attention, right? And they have your undivided attention because you're having that connection, boom, boom, boom. And you can turn them around, talk to them, to their face, whatever the case may be. So coming in at an early age was a blessing. Definitely, God definitely blessed me with that to give me that confidence and that abundance to actually, you know, learn how to be this particular person. Now, did I think I would still be doing it 20 years from now? Absolutely not. But it's a great thing. And I don't physically cut. You know, I'm more so like on the business side now. You know, I've had barbershops. I've had a lot of relationships on the business side from it. And I've grown a lot. And I've been able to not just give my talent, give my haircut, you know, give the cool haircuts, right? But also being able to give back. So that's been the main thing about being a barber. You're able to give back.
That's amazing. All right. We got a question from Christopher in Spain. Go ahead and unmute to ask, brother.
Hello, My
Hello.
question was, what was the first place you work as a barber?
I worked at a barbershop called Silken Classic Barbershop. It was in Chicago. The barber school I went to was also called Silken Classic. The owner, he owned the shop and a school. So the shop was next door to the school. So it was more like a hybrid thing. Yeah, it was a great shop. To dive more deep into that, I had to wear a shirt and tie every day. You get the name Silken Classy, you know, you have to be silky and you gotta be classy. So, that's the shop I worked in.
Next level barbershop right there. We have a question
Next
from
level barbershop.
Russia. This is Timofey from Russia. Go ahead and ask your question.
Hi. When did
Hello.
you start thinking I want to be barber for the rest of my life?
I would say that's a good question. That's a really, really good question, right? The first day I walked in the door of the barber school, I remember telling myself I want to be more than just a barber, right? I want to be able to put like this, every industry or anything you get yourself into, there's no limits to it. Always remember that, right? You can always excel and go high, 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 beyond. I always say beyond the stars, beyond the sky, right? And I think I would say maybe once I graduated and I didn't miss a day of barber school, and it was a 9-month program, I finished in 7.5 months because I did all the extra credit stuff. I think once I got out of that and I got into the shop and I started making money, obviously, and start understanding that I have freedom to do what I want within the business, I said, man, this is cool because mind you, I was 18 years old, okay? I was very young. And all my other friends were doing other things, working, you know, jobs or whatever the case may be, that they didn't have the freedom. So I love this so much. And I knew I wanted to be a barber because I had freedom. I experienced the freedom of it and being able to meet new people and talk to new people and, you know, what other job you can have where you can just, you know, and I mean, again, as a barber, I never knew it was this beautiful at 18 years old. So I knew right there and then. Probably my first 2 days in the shop, I'm like, I'm doing the right thing. Let's do it. Let's do it.
That's got to be an amazing feeling. So one of the kids emailed me and they wanted to know what inspired the idea of creating an online barber platform.
To reach everybody across the world, right? Obviously, the barber company is based out of Chicago, Philadelphia, and where we do a lot of physical events, barber expos and classes, different things like that in a physical form, but we also knew that it was important to reach the people around the world as well, right? Because there's other individuals like you guys, you kids are you know, you, why and why? Because you're not in those cities or in these other cities we host events in, why can't you experience the Major League Barber love that we show, right? That's what we say, Major League Barber love. Why can't you experience that? Well, you can. Right. So we decided to take our platform, put it online, you know, be able to look at the apparel we got, you know, look at the classes we offer. We're also going to be starting a online competition very soon here as well. That's something I had a meeting about earlier. And just so guys can get the experience. And you don't have to be a barber to view it. You don't have to be a barber to subscribe. You can just be something, you can just be someone that says, you know what, I'm thinking about getting into it. It's interesting. Let me do my research, and this can be part of the research. So, putting it online was very, very key. It was very key because you could do it from your. And nowadays, you guys got the technology now. You know, I didn't come up with this right here. So now you can look the phone, pick the phone up, and say, "Ooh, I want to see what's going on today." You know, in fact, I'll say this: my last event I did in Chicago, we live streamed it on a barber app. There's a third party app that we're partners with. And we streamed it live. So there were people across the world watching it, you know, and we're going to do it again. I'll definitely, when we do it again for one of our other events, maybe our next Chicago one next year, I'll definitely let, you know, I'll let Mr. Ralph know, like, hey, this is what it is. You guys want to go watch it? You know, I think that'd be pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, we could send that out. That'd be great. That goes to our next question. One of the kids here in the States, they want to know how important is community in the barbering world? How do you foster those connections? Because you're a bit of a connector in your industry. How do you foster those?
You know, keeping in touch with people, you know. I would say one of the main things I've gotten better on over the last 12 years is, you know, and again, I'm saying this because in the barber world, in the barber book, right? There's a book, y'all, okay? They tell us to leave our faith out, right? And not do certain things in the shop. Well, I kind of go against that. I'm a type of person where if I want to stay connected with somebody, it's me picking the phone up, calling somebody. I'm real big on this, y'all. Pick the phone up, call somebody, and if it might last 20 seconds. Hey, how's it going? Just calling in, checking in with you. How's everything? Everything's good? Want me to pray for you? You know what I mean? Or they might come back and say, hey, can we pray for you? Different things like that. Checking on their family, checking on their dog, right? How's the dog doing? You know, how's your sister? You know what I'm saying? How's your brother? Like, those type of things go a long way. So, like, community, I literally, y'all, if I can show you my phone right now, I have not cut hair in the shop in about 11 years, right? Because I got away from the shop. I'm still licensed. I'm just because I'm more so on the business side of it. I had a shop, I sold it, and I still have my clients' names in my phone. I have Brad client, John client. Just I send, and whether their phones are on or not, a lot of phones are disconnected because it's been so long. But I would say maybe 85% of them are still on. I still call these people. I call them and I keep in touch with them. And the first response I get before I get a hello back is, you cutting again? Where you cutting at? You know what I'm saying? So, but I keep in contact with them. I check, you know, how's it? And a lot of guys, and there's a lot of clients I used to cut that passed away. It might be a family member that picks that phone up now. You know, oh my, you know, I just recently had an old client named Bill. Bill used to come to my shop every Saturday at 4 p.m., right? He was my last one every Saturday, right? He passed away, you know, a few months ago. That was my guy, you know, but his son picked the phone up and was like, man, I remember you. My dad said so much good things about you. And his son was in high school at the time. So now it's like his son's grown now. And I'm like, well, listen, man, you know, is this your number? We're going to keep in touch. And I've checked on him and I prayed with him. And, you know, even through that, because again, he's dealing with that loss. Again, me being a barber has really helped me connect with the community. And I do a lot of community stuff. I've done plenty of things since I've grown up because that's how I was raised. My mom raised me to do a lot of community stuff, a lot of give back stuff, and I'm just accustomed to doing it despite everything else I got going on. So staying in this community, always give back, y'all. Always find some kind of organization, or even if it's not an organization, if you just see somebody trying to put together some kind of like give back for like food drive or anything like that, or clothing drive, be a part of that. Stay connected with people because you'll meet some good people that you would never meet, you know. So that's the cool thing about it. And I'm gonna say this real quick, Ralph. On Facebook, you know, Facebook has Facebook memories. And I know if y'all got, I don't know if y'all got Facebook or anything like that. A memory popped up today from Hope for the City at Fiesta for like 5 years, 20, I think it was 2021. And I'm like, wow, this pops up on the day I'm doing this. And you asked that question about community. It's like that was probably my second time out there, you know, and I was like, man, this is cool. Like, I didn't know anybody. They're saying names on the video. I know who they are now, but now it's like one of those things where I did that during that time where we had to stay, they want everybody to be apart and be disconnected, but I was still connected because that did something for me and that kept me in the loop what's going on. So yeah, community is very important, guys. Get out there, shake hands, make a friend, and continue that bonding and that relationship bond.
That's wonderful. And by the way, Joe and I know each other from Hope for the City. I know some of you guys have met the people from Hope for the City. It's a food pantry that we have here in Las Vegas to help those in need who are hungry, who can't afford food. And by the way, my son, he wants to be a barber like Joe.
Okay.
Yeah, he said either a teacher like me or a barber like Joe. So there you go.
Wow.
So
Wow.
I wanted to ask you this question because you're from South Chicago, right?
Yes, I'm from the south side of Chicago.
Yeah,
Yes.
it's a very rough area, guys, where he's from. And so you are definitely, a product of persevering through adversity. Can you talk to the kids a little bit about persevering through adversity and not letting your surroundings impact you in a negative way, about like choosing who you hang out with and being specific about that?
I will say, you know, we it's crazy how we transition from staying in contact, being together with people and learning people and different things like that. You also got to protect your peace, right? You have to protect your individuality. Being around people that were negative was something that I dealt with. And I'm going to be very transparent with you guys. You know, I always look at life and friends that you have now as leaves on a tree, right? Eventually, leaves on a tree will fall when the seasons change. So we all go through these different seasons where, you know, when fall comes, you know, when spring comes, things bloom, right? And I'm not saying, you know, your season might last long, it might last short. Don't make a difference. A season is a season, however long that may last. Spring, everything blooms. Summer, everything's nourishing, it's refreshing, it's raining, everything, da 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 da. But then when fall comes, leaves fall, and then they grow again. There's always going to be people in your lives, and there was people in my life when I was younger that I thought they would be my friends forever. I thought they would be in my life forever, right? And little did I know, as I start growing and as I start thinking different and putting myself around other people, the other old people had to fall off. Right. So it's like a garden. You know, you have people that go to a garden and they pick fruit, this and that, or they pick the bad leaves. They pick those bad leaves and bad fruit because they're planting new seeds, or they're giving room for other plants around it to grow. So, you know, with me, I was around a lot of negative people, but I use that as a fuel to my fire, right, to grow past that. So what I had to do is take myself out of those different environments. So it took for me to, yeah, I grew up where I grew up. But then once I moved to the suburb, I didn't see a lot of those people that much anymore. And they very rarely come out and see me, or we never hung out, anything like that. So I kind of exited myself from the situation. Because a lot of people nowadays, y'all, they wait. You wait. People wait for, you know, they wait for things to happen. Sometimes you got to make those things happen. You know, you got to make that change. You know, obviously you got to pray for that change, right? You got to let God work with that change and let him work in you. Right? Because he's going to work in you, and then before you know, he's working for you. Okay? And understand that everybody is not here to be your friend. And also, even the people that are really supportive of you, they may not be your friend. It's always the ones that are really not your friend. And those are the most supportive individuals, y'all. For real. Right? But then it's also the ones that are your friends, and because they're friends with you and they have that title, they get comfortable. So therefore, if you share an idea with them and say, hey, I want to do this, I want to do that. They might say, I don't know about that. Isn't that? You have to watch those type of individuals. And that could be from family or friend. So growing up in Chicago, you guys probably hear all this stuff now, go to Chicago. A lot of that stuff is really just, you know, it's news, right? But it is distracting, and it can become distracting to be around individuals and the environment. So you have to change your environment, one, and you have to watch who you call your friends and watch how they treat you when you're sharing good news or when you're trying to share something new with them. You know, you have to understand, are they supportive of what you want to do, or do they understand what you want to do? And they, you know, everybody's not here to understand everything you have going on and what you want to do, right? God is though, right? You know what I mean? And if you understand that, then you can get through anything. So once I moved, did all that, and guys, I live in Vegas now. You know, I lived in Chicago all my life. You know, when I moved away, I became happier. Honestly, I met new people. It was like a fresh start for me. You know, I met Ralph. I met so many great people in this town to the point that it gave me a refuel to my fire. Like, okay, now I want to accomplish things here. So that's what I have to say about that. Don't ever let your environment depict who you are, or give you the final result of what you're going to be.
I love your wisdom. Okay, we got one more barber-related question, and this is coming
Okay.
from our friend Timofey from Russia. Go ahead and unmute to ask.
Hi. Did any famous person with you?
Have you ever cut any
Yeah.
hair of famous people that you can talk about? That you can talk about.
Absolutely, I can talk about it. So you guys know who Jimmy Butler is, right? Plays for the Warriors now. So Jimmy Butler is one of my really good friends, y'all. I used to cut him in college when he went to Marquette University in Milwaukee. He's actually my cousin's best friend, my cousin Reese, which is now a high school basketball coach down in Orlando, Florida. But Jimmy Butler was, I would say, I mean, back then in college, he wasn't that good, but he came out and he was playing for the Bulls. I cut him on the Bulls. I've cut up If you guys remember, I don't know if you guys might be too young for this, but Deron Williams used to be a point guard for the Utah Jazz. He went to U of I. He used to go down to Champaign to cut his hair. Who also, what's the guy's name, an actor? Oh my goodness, I can't remember. Anyways, a couple of actors, Hollywood actors, y'all, I've taken care of. But Jimmy Butler is my number one guy, and I still talk to him. In fact, I actually talked to him a couple of weeks ago. We don't talk much because he's busy and everything playing ball, but he's a really he's really cool, right? And that's another thing about being a barber. You'll meet a lot of great famous celebrities, you know, whatever celebrity may be, you know, you'll meet these individuals. And it's pretty cool because you'll meet them and you'll build a relationship about with them. You know, I never knew that Jimmy would be a star in the NBA, right? But he did become a star in the NBA. And now he's excelled to new heights. So I've met a lot of other people. I have a mentor of mine, which is now one of my best friends. If you've seen the movie Barbershop 1 and 2, I was on the set just watching, right? And my guy Marcus Davis was he cut all the actors, Ice Cube, everybody on that set. And to this day, you know, he does the Shy, he does all these different things. I've been on the set with these people, and barbering has opened up doors for me to be in the same room in the same environment of other individuals.
That is wild. That's congratulations. Now that my son he thinks you're even more cool. Jimmy Butler's his favorite player of all time. So, that's really cool. So, before we let you go, I always ask this of all of our guests: is there any advice, Joe Plano, that you can give to these kids? You are very accomplished in your field. What advice would you have for them, whether they want to do barber or something completely different? What advice would you have for them as they go off to figure out what they want to do with their lives?
I would say find something that you like to do and turn it into something that you want to love to do. And then if you do that, obviously you've heard the saying, do what you love, love what you do. But I always tell people, and it always stops there, but I've always said this on my videos and different things, and I tell you guys this personally, find something that you like to do, develop a passion for it. If it's something you really want to do, anything, doesn't matter, anything you dream of doing, right? And you can turn that thing into, you don't have to be a prophet, just passion over profit, right? Find something you love to do. Do it with love and always be you. Don't change for anybody. Be you, right? If you're silly, goofy, and you're serious, so be it, right? But at the end of the day, just be yourself. And if you feel somebody, if you feel something is trying to throw you off or take you away from something you want, then it's not for you. Create some goals, you know? Create your own journal. Go buy, you can go buy, you can go get a notebook. You don't have to get a fancy journal, get a notebook, write something down every day. There's a lot of pages in a notebook, right? Just go through every day on that page, write down some goals, write down some things you want to do. And then also write down some things you would like to be, you know, like to see different. And then also, lastly, I'll say this. Every day, you guys should wake up and do something you've never done before. I'm not sure what that is, but do something you've never done. Do something you will be like, man, that's weird. I wouldn't do that. But then maybe if obviously if it's appropriate, do it. Because you just never know. If you're a person that can't get up and go out in public and say hello to somebody, do it. See what happens. You know, I do it all the time. You know, I lived in a metro city. I can walk down the street and say, hey man, cool glasses. Hey man, nice shoes. You know, hey, what's up, man? How's it going? Hey, you have a good day today. You have a blessed day today. You know, do those different things. Classmates. What's up, man? How's it going? Somebody you might, you know, don't, just do something different because I'm telling you, the result of that is something good, something great. And what that does is, again, that opens you up to being more open. Again, I told y'all, and I'm gonna leave you guys with this. I was a very quiet individual when I was in barber school and through high school. I was quiet. I was like a loner. People thought I was weird, right? But I just didn't like to talk much to somebody unless I got comfortable around. But being in this business, I had to learn how to say hello. How's it going? I had to learn their names. I had to learn how to build. I had to learn how to be polite. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Like those different things. I was raised like that, but also I was putting myself in environment. So I knew that God was testing me to do that. He, you know, gift of the gab, people call me, right? I can talk. Y'all see, I can talk all day. You couldn't do this to me 12, 15 years ago. There's no way, you know, but yeah, Do what you guys love. Love what you do and always be you. Don't chase for anybody. Let God lead you, whatever way he wants to lead you, and let him work within you.
Thank you so much, Joe. We can't thank you enough. We appreciate you greatly. God bless.
Glad to be on here.
Yeah, yeah, and before I end the meeting for all, I'm going to allow everyone to unmute. Can we all unmute and say thank you to Joe Flanagan?
Thank you.
Thank you.